Ahoy! You're listening to Diffuse Tap with Kenny Estes and Isla Krem. Today, we're having a little chit-chat with Brigetta Pineski. She is the health tech founder at Block Health. We're going to be talking about how blockchain could be game-changing for the healthcare industry's predictive capabilities, how AI comes into the mix, and which groups are taking the lead in health data innovation. Enjoy. Hello, everybody. Hopefully you had some good conversations. Welcome back to the big room. Friendly reminder, please do stay on mute. Muting some of you now. Some of you might be confused as to what in the world is going on. So here's what's on tap. This is a weekly event. We do this every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central Time. This is 199. Next week's 200. Oh, we got to do something. All right. If anybody has any good ideas for the 200th episode, do let us know. The 100th episode was an NFT, but I think that's kind of out of vogue right now. So if anybody has any clever and fun, we're going to briefly talk about Diffuse Tap. That's the name of the event series you are in right now. We're also going to talk about Diffuse Funds, the company putting on said event. We're going to have a quick Q&A, about 15 minutes with Ms. Pineski. And then we're going to do two more rounds of tap rooms, similar to what you just experienced, because this is mostly a networking event. Ooh, networking event. 45 minutes of every hour together we spend in small tap rooms, four, five, six people, something like that. The audience is pretty much all alternative investors or people who play in the alternative investing space. It is pretty heavily skewed towards crypto assets, not exclusively, but a lot of crypto assets and blockchain. So if you want to talk to other people in the alt space, crypto in particular, it's a good place to do it, kind of speed networking as it were. But we do want you to be a little bit more intelligent when you leave, so which is why we have people like Brigetta on to share some of her insights. If you like the networking portion of this, April 3rd in Chicago, there is an in-person Diffuse Tap. Grab a drink, no speakers. It's pretty casual, but if you're in the Chicagoland area, come check it out. And Mr. Petapiece is the host with the most. Diffuse Funds is the company. The big push we have right now is our Diffuse Digital 30 product. This is a publicly listed index fund of the top 30 cryptocurrencies. That's just a fancy way of saying we're trying to be the S&P 500 for crypto. So if you want to learn a little bit more about that, which we're aggressively scaling up as we speak, although in the last 24 hours, it's scaled down. Thank you, market. Let us know and we can have a conversation. But that's enough about us. Thank you for joining us. Please unmute yourself. Tell the folks a little bit about your background and what you're up to over at Block Health.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the audience. Just a quick intro. I am a physician by trade. I trained in obstetrics and primary care, so began my career doing a ton of deliveries, thinking if we just did that delivery correctly and we would launch our babies off to 100 years of good health. That, of course, was completely wrong. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked at the level of imprecision with which we apply medicine to individuals. That moved me out of seeing patients one by one, and I became chief medical officer for one of the largest reference labs in the Pacific Northwest. We collaborated with the Continua Health Alliance at the time, so Intel and Qualcomm, to use technology to enable the smart household, the smart home, and hopefully bring some precision into healthcare. That was interesting, but it didn't change the beast. So it's hard to change the industry from inside. And I began advising for startups and investment groups in the health tech space. More and more groups started offering us blockchain-based solutions, but investors wouldn't invest because they didn't understand that technology. And so I wound up setting up investor education in blockchain. And of course, I had to learn as well. So we can't do these things in 1 hour. You need, 2 week boot camp. We did 3 hours of online class, 3 hours of in person over 2 weeks. And that's when I really drank the Kool-Aid, realizing that all of our conversations for decades now around transforming healthcare to be individual or patient centric, we just have PowerPoints. But now understanding more of this emerging technology space it's clear that the tech stack is arriving, and it's possible now to really revise the type of healthcare and bring some precision to healthcare today that wasn't there before. Right now, my day job is with what's called NextCubed. It's an incubator accelerator out of San Francisco and San Diego. We advise startups and more mature groups, help them grow in various stages. So that's a little about me.
Brigetta, do you write?
Yes, that's a new thing. Thanks for the prompt. with COVID, my consulting work dropped considerably. So I decided it was time to put pen to paper and wrote the book, Wealthcare, Demystifying Web3 and the Rise of Personal Data Economies, really trying to help our industry and a diverse audience understand this massive potential that's here in technology to allow us to do things differently. And so this is available as an NFT on this side, and then the Amazon version on the other side.
Okay. Maybe I'll ask a super leading question. The first one is, what is health data? And do we have health data right now? Yeah. What is the state of that?
Yeah, and that's the real focus of today's talk, is especially since this is an investor heavy group, I think it's important that we expose some of the less talked about conversation in healthcare and AI. I mean, AI is here, but it's only as good as its training data. And even though healthcare suggests it has troves and troves of data, and it's true, we make money off people's data on a regular basis, that data is not health data. That's disease management and billing data. And it's very difficult to try and back engineer health from disease management data. And therefore, I think this is the big opportunity to do things differently will require us, the people, to participate in producing, call it the minutia of our lives, in a digital form so that AI has a chance to explore it effectively.
I'm a bit slow. Can you give me like an example of something that would be the distinction between like my health data versus my sickness, I think was the term you used, data?
Yeah, so that a good example is to take a use case. For instance, one of the more recent papers talking about microplastics and the fact that we have now been able to identify through an Italian study that end arterectomies or carotid arteries, they can have plaques formed that have microplastics in there. And this is something that science is never going to sort out for us in time. It's something that we, the people, will have to start to manage with respect to, what are we using? Is it the tea bags we're using? Is it the plastic that we're microwaving with? Is it the plastics that are coming off of car tires outside our windows? You know, what are these things? And so providing a mechanism by which individuals can measure the minutia of their lives using apps and wearables, it becomes less daunting. Think of Steve Jobs. He's living his life much like most of us. He hopes that he doesn't get ill. And then he hopes that if he does get ill, healthcare is there to protect him. But of course, that's not the case. What we should expect, especially since we have, 60,000 people a year in the US getting pancreatic cancer, and these are mostly sporadic cases, which means we can't blame his DNA or his parents for this. Something happened on Jobs' watch that he wasn't aware of, and we don't know what happened either. This is something science cannot sort out, but AI could sort out in the space of a few moments if it had access to hundreds of thousands of parameters across large groups of individuals to identify what was different between the group that didn't get pancreatic cancer versus the group that did. And actually, there's an MVP for that now already out, Ken, through Denmark. Denmark proved that you could use a large language model on 6 million people, 6 million people in Denmark. They have an unusual situation there where they trust their government and provide massive amounts of minutia in terms of their salary, their vocation, their hours at work, et cetera. And by using AI, they were able to train data up till 2016 and use that trained data to test, because they had data all the way up to 2020, to to test if they could expose individual survivability for the next 4 years. And the outcome was amazingly tighter than what we've experienced previously. So the opportunity is there to provide individually specific health intelligence that will allow us to see into the future in ways that will hopefully give us enough time to course correct so that we're not continuously on standby the way we are today, hoping that things go well.
Fascinating. So the idea, if I can make sure I understand it, is if we all, but like, what's that ring that everybody's wearing these days? Like the health, like the
Aura ring?
Aura ring, yeah. So if everybody has an Aura ring and all these wearables and all of that information goes into one massive database, we can use kind of big data AI analysis to more or less do A/B testing like all the time instead of doing these clinical trials that takes years and years and years and actually start to deal with the health rather than waiting until there's some symptom that we have to address. Is that roughly right?
Yeah, because what you're talking about, and I think this is a real point to emphasize as well, is the fact that the Denmark example is not scalable. Trusting our government is not something we're going to be able to move necessarily out of Denmark. And so we need a new trust framework, which is why I wrote the book and talk about a three-zone model, where zone one is your home base, where you safely and securely put all your information, be it the Aura ring or some nutrition app and or your clinic visits, your lab values, et cetera, et cetera. That's zone one, home base. On top of that runs zone two, which is a continuous correlation AI that is non-rivalrous in every way. No IP there, but constantly suggesting these things seem to be connected. Therefore, we might be able to more rapidly understand what's connected with putting microplastics into our body in ways that might be harmful. And then zone three sits on top of that continuous AI. It is separated from the people, the individual, and their identity and their raw data through a discrete separation, such that zone three houses everybody else that wants your data, that could benefit financially from your data. And that's governments and researchers, industry, et cetera. And this provides a new type of trust framework that would allow each and every one of the citizenry to be respected and protected in the same way. Governments could say, if you're looking for funding for your project, I'm not going to explore the data gymnastics you're offering me. You're going to be required to use a three-zone model to have access to data for your project.
Interesting. So that still does have government involvement. And as you say, the level of trust with the government, is especially in America right now, is probably the lowest it's ever been. So is this a blockchain argument? Is that we're going with this? Is that like the actual?
Exactly. We couldn't have done any of this in a Web 2 world. In a Web 2 world, we're stuck with industry custodying our information for us because it would be too difficult, too much of a technology ask to ask people to self-manage or self-govern their own information. And now with, of course, apps, wearables, Web 3, blockchain, NFTs, we have an opportunity to tokenize the minutiae of our lives, allow it to participate and collaborate in data marketplaces such that it not only teaches us what really matters on a dynamic basis, but also acts as an economic asset for us, allows us to gain economic benefit from our data and perhaps evolve to a place where we actually create enough economic benefit that some of that can be going towards universal basic income. Because if we can thank industry for anything, for sure they've taught us how valuable our health data is. And especially in a world where we have less and less in the way of single target entities. I mean, we have pharma hoping to use AI to deliver us more and more chemical agents. But the opportunity to use a single agent in terms of single target disease is fewer and fewer. So what pharma is really looking for is a way to understand the minutiae of patient populations to tease out complex diseases like Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, cognitive decline, even obesity. These things are very complex. It's not something we're going to be able to chemical our way out of.
Okay, I'll ask a cynical question. You talk about untapping economic value. You talk about the government being involved in the pharmaceuticals, trying to figure out like the root causes of a lot of this stuff. Is the economic value that we're untapping here, isn't that going to flow to the pharmaceutical companies? Like, I don't see how we connect that to UBI at the end of the day. Like, where is this actually going to accrue value? Who are the stakeholders that are going to make money, I guess, in this scenario?
Well, and there's good examples of that already, for instance, in areas such as HairDAO, VitaDAO, even in the cannabis space, where groups are self-organizing, collaborating to co-create the intelligence they need to live by. And that involves tokenizing data packets and creating a mechanism by which those data packets can be, the travel of that, those packets in terms of creating new insights that are delivered up to zone three, allows that insight to carry with it access to the group that actually delivered that insight in the first place. And so these are, you know, micro or sub penny transactions to begin with. But because in today's world, we just have a few mega companies transacting on our data, this model looks to a future where all of us, you know, a few billion of us on the planet will be asking very specific questions and having the opportunity to have those answered in real time in ways in which the volume of transactions would grow exponentially.
Mm. Okay, so this feels almost like we're talking about like a grassroots self-organizing type of setup, where then we have that information, hopefully one of these things get critical mass. There's an argument in there for standards, right? For that layer three, zone three, I think the government to actually use that data. Is that kind of the future state that you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I like your term grassroots, because what we're talking about is not derailing the current system, but very much like Bitcoin, it showed up alongside. It didn't do anything to finance, but just provided a new model. And I see wealth care as being a similar path to evolution, where more and more people find that it's dirt simple to self-custody their information, and that they're finding that not doing that is way too inconvenient. Every time they show up at another place on the planet, they don't have their stuff with them, and it's painful to try and organize a health event somewhere else. And that pretty soon people will just stop using health providers that don't automatically put their data on their home base, because it's too painful for them to have to figure out how to get that stuff on their home base themselves. And so more and more, laboratory centers and health centers will advertise that use us and your information goes to your home base.
Interesting. Fascinating. And having that you control and you can selectively tier it up, zone it up, whatever it is, to go to higher zones from your yeah, okay. I can see where you're coming from. June has a question in the chat here. Estonia, apparently, I know nothing about this, did a blockchain health records kind of trial. Do you know anything about that? And do you know how that's going?
I don't know the Estonia example, but please put it in the chat so that I can look it up.
Okay. That is fair. Chris Sorensen has a question in the chat. Do we actually need blockchain, as in the technology stack, or do we just all need to agree on some third party that we can trust, whether it be the government or other?
Yeah, I think that it's likely to be a hybrid way in which this evolves, but eventually we would love to make sure that we don't have to trust our minutiae to a third party. And we would like to at least be able to know that we can sort of take our toys and go home if we're not happy with the services that we're getting from one party versus another. So careful to not ask a physician about the details of the technology, because we're not trained in that space. Right. But I think there's lots of room here for design applications that will meet the criteria of the three-zone model that will be more and more distributed over time.
Makes sense. And I suppose when we're talking about trustless data management that kind of is the whole je ne sais quoi of blockchain. So yeah, I can see the argument. Yeah. Did a crappy job as usual of actually getting to the questions in the chat, but we're out of time. So we're going to go do a tap room. Here you go. A couple of housekeeping items for you. First off, networking, not pitching. Please be respectful of that and each other. We do not do a full participant list. So if you meet somebody you want to connect with, just swap details there or join the Telegram group. Introduce yourself, tell people what you're up to, just keep the conversation going. Typically in said tap rooms, you talk about yourself for 30 seconds, do a quick pass around the mic, and then discuss the topic if you so choose. That topic being whatever Isla tells you that topic is. Oh, you're muted, of course.
Of course I am. What data would you be comfortable sharing with the blockchain, and what health data would you not be comfortable sharing? Pop into rooms now. Oh, go for it. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, pop them into rooms. I was warning Brigetta that after this tap room, we will ask you to tell us the future of something you're excited by. It doesn't necessarily have to have anything to do with healthcare, whatever's on your mind. So we'll see y'all in 12 minutes.
Yeah, that's correct.
Welcome back, one and all. Ms. Pineski, do you want to unmute and please tell people the future? What's exciting coming down the pipe?
The future. Okay. Before I jump into that, the really good question came out in the breakout room about HIPAA, because, of course, healthcare and HIPAA seem to be connected at the hip in most people's mind. But I remind them that we gave the Bitcoin example, right? We're not going to derail the current system. And in fact, HIPAA only applies to covered entities. We are not, as individuals, covered entities. Therefore, we have the ability to, self-custody and manage our data in ways that we choose. What we do have, of course, is the 21st Century Cures Act, which allows each and every one of us to have access to information that sits inside of healthcare clinics and hospitals if we ask for it. And this is something that you retrospectively wouldn't have to do, piecemeal by yourself, because there are services out there today that do that for you. Most of these services are for telemedicine docs who, of course, most of the time they haven't met you. They have to do a visit for you. So they use a service that scans the APIs of various health systems to pull your records together for that visit. And of course, AI sits on top to summarize it for the doctor, because he's got no time to read everything. So I just wanted to mention the regulatory piece because we missed that.
Makes sense. And then,
and then the future, I always think of a colleague, Clay, who interestingly, had the same sort of recommendations that we all get, is exercise more and eat less. And he was the epitome of health in terms of, long distance runner, didn't use alcohol, didn't smoke, but was a tech exec. So did a lot of travel to Asia and was exposed to, poor quality air. Unfortunately, he had a very, very rare cancer in North America, a nasal cancer. So I think, worried that it was late to be picked up, because we don't get those here. But apparently that cancer is very common in Asia. And so I worry that he might have done long distance running during multiple trips to Asia in poor quality atmosphere. And so I see a future where we all sort of naturally have, air quality sensors, UV light sensors, and other sensors that we intermittently interact with, because AI doesn't need us to do something every single day. It just needs a representative sample of our lives, so that in the future, those folks that do a lot of air travel, of course, that's associated with radiation exposure as well. But we live in a world in which we can have a personal agent that tracks the amount of accumulated, net positive versus net negative events in our life, to help steer us away well ahead of time from anything that is, preventable. The vast majority of what ails us on this planet is preventable poor health outcomes, but we're not preventing them. And we actually don't have the data to prevent them today. But we do have the tools. We have the AI ready to organize hundreds of thousands of variables for each of us. But we just need a trust framework and the participation of the people to make this happen. Imagine your future where you walk around with a few hundred thousand people in your pocket that you can call on at any time to ask very specific questions from, and live your life with really good insight into tomorrow instead of this life on standby that we have today.
That all seems very optimistic. I love it. I hope we can get there. But I think Daryl raised it in the chat as well. Security is terrifying when it comes to that future world. But yeah, I think a step in that direct direction is probably the right one for sure. So awesome. Thank you for... Oh, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, and then when, of course, we are scared about AI alignment. I don't think there is a future of AI alignment that doesn't include really good access to what health in the biological sphere means. Without good training data in terms of human health data, the ability to align AI with us may be really difficult.
Totally makes sense. All right, great. Another tap room. You're going to go away and talk about, well, whatever Isla tells you to talk about.
Yeah, and the topic, something else scary. I don't know if you remember, but people were talking about putting little chips in the arm because, you know, as much health data as there is, it needs to sit somewhere and accessible about you. How do you think that this data is going to be carried around with you? Is it going to be a card? Is it going to be some kind of platform log anything? Is it going to be on your phone or in your arm? You know, how is future health data going to be carried around with
also,
you?
Also, feel free to bring up Neuralink because I think that's going to be part of that.
That's going to be the bomb.
Sure.
You know, yeah. Can't wait for that little chip in my head.
Yeah.
I'll put you in the rooms now and we'll see you back here in 10 minutes.
Welcome back. That was the last breakout room. So we are going to do a quick wrap up and slide. There we go. But actually, Ms. Panaski, do you want to plug your pluggables? Where can people find you? What do you want them to do now that they've heard a little bit about you?
All right. So yes, find me on LinkedIn. And actually, you know, I'm very happy to have one-on-ones with anybody in the group. I know this is a very high quality group that always gets together. And I'm keen to learn more about what you do and how we can put together best in class for this. This is going to take a village to make it happen. Also, just to let you know, if you're aware of any platforms or protocols that have foundations with education grants, we need maybe $15,000, a tiny grant, to build the WealthCare AI, a follow-on version of this book that puts meat on the bones for the three-zone model. The three-zone model is just introduced briefly in the current book, but I think we really are at the point now where folks need a bit more of a blueprint to understand where we're going from here. So I'd really appreciate that. The book, of course, is available on Amazon and the NFT on Alexandria Labs and OpenSea.
Nice. I think of this audience, you're going to get more NFT purchases than physical copies. So good job making sure that was accessible there. On our end, a couple up next wrap-up items. One, next week, it's the same time every week. This will be the 200th time. And I am serious. If anybody has any clever ideas about what we should do for the 200th time, please let us know because I got nothing. Supply chain on chain. That sounds redundant, but you get it. So that's what we're going to be talking about next week. Diffuse Tap in person, April 3rd with Tony Petipi. So if you're in Chicagoland area, come check it out. I believe that I will be there for that one, which is exciting for me, at least less so for you. Telegram, join it, say hello, introduce yourself, all that stuff. It's great for keeping in touch with the community. Ms. Panaski, thank you very much for sharing some of your wisdom here today. It's a fascinating topic and one I had spent 0 minutes thinking about prior to us having our initial conversation. So thanks for opening my eyes a little bit. Isla, was there anything else that you wanted to get in?
No, I think we're good. We're excited to see you all next week. And if you want to recommend a speaker, then we are game for that too.
Awesome. Thank you everybody for coming out. As always, doesn't work without you. And we'll see you in 6 days and 23 hours.
Great. Thanks so much.
Bye. Until then. Bye.
Bye. Thanks, so. Bye.
That's all, folks. Hope you learned something new. If you join us on Zoom every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central, you can also network with other fascinating alternative investors from all over the world in small groups of four or five. Learn more on our website at www.diffusefunds.com. Until next time.